You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
So today we're going to talk about making a difference at home. Next week, making a difference at work. And then talking about making a difference at our church, of how we can make a difference in these three areas of our life. So if making a difference at home, I don't want you to be like, oh man, I'm a single and I don't have a husband or a wife. I don't have any kids. What are you talking about at home? It's just me. You got a home team. You got your people, you got your folks. Maybe you're an empty nester and it's just you and your wife or your husband. And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? I'm kind of past the parenting ages. No, it's all of us with our home team. Who is around us? Who is with us that we can make a difference in their life? We kicked it off last week talking about in the book of Acts, Acts 16. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts 16, and I want you to grab your listening guide as well that we could look at this in Acts chapter 16. Paul is on a journey through modern-day Turkey, and he's headed to modern-day Greece. He's going to end up at a place called Philippi that we'll see in just a few moments, and Philippi is going to be where he is going to write back to about 10 years later to the Philippians. That's why we have Philippians in our Bible, because he went to Philippi. On this journey through Turkey, there's going to be some times that he's going to say, well, let's go here and let's go here. And we looked at it last week. God's going to say, no. The Holy Spirit's going to close that door. The Spirit of Jesus is going to close that door. Do you have in your life open and closed doors? Are there things you want, but God for some reason has closed the door? We love open doors, but yet not every time does God open the door. Sometimes he closes them. Sometimes we persist by continuing to knock, and that's a sermon for another day. But sometimes we just say, you know what? He closed the door. It's time for me to move on. Well, Paul has got the same thing going on in his life. He'd have done a great job in Asia. He'd have done a great job in Bithynia. But God closed the doors for him so that he would be on his way to Philippi. And he ends up at a place called Troas, we talked about last week. As we talked about Troas, it's a place of waiting. It's on the edge of the coast. It's not where you want to be. It's not where you were. And we end up in Troas, and a lot of us are in Troas because I've got a lot of emails and text messages and folks just mentioning to me, I'm kind of in Troas right now. I'm retired. I thought it was going to be great, but now I'm bored. I don't really feel like I have a lot of purpose. You know, we're married and we're waiting for kids, but they're not coming and we're not quite there. We're married and we got kids and are they ever going to grow up? I mean, we're not quite there, you know, being able to go. So we're in Troas, these places of waiting. Better to be in Troas with God, though, than any other place on your own. And we're going to find that God is going to take Paul from Troas to Philippi. That's what we're going to see today. We're going to see the open door. So here we go. Verse 9 of chapter 16, reading verses 9 through 12. We'll read some more, but let's look at this. God taking him to Philippi. Verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. Remember that. After he had seen the vision, we, the pronoun changes because Luke's going to join him now, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. Yes, we made it. As a Roman colony and a leading city in the district of Macedonia, we stayed there for several days. And it's actually the rest of the chapter. He's going to get thrown in prison. It's going to be a lot of trouble in Philippi. But here's the first thing I want you to get. Here is God leading him, but why is he leading him? It says because there's a man of Macedonia that says, I want you to come and help us. God's leading is for helping others. God's leading is for helping others. God's not just leading us to our own blessings. God's not just leading us for us to just feel good about ourselves. We're not difference makers just so we have a little warm fuzzy. We're difference makers because we're going to help people. One of the ways we're going to learn today to help is with our home team, those that are around us, our friends, our nieces, our nephews, our family, our kids, our parents, whatever it is, your home team. We're going to see that we're there to help them. So the man of Macedonia says, come over here. That's from Turkey across the water to Europe, to Greece. Come over here and help us We are led by helping others. Here's what one commentator says. It's really interesting. He said, in the book of Acts, the big question of the day was, what must I do to be saved? But today in America, the big question is this, what must I do to cope with life? See, I know that people in your workplace and people just out in culture, they're not like, would somebody tell me about Jesus? Would somebody tell me how to be saved? But they are asking, how do I cope with life? And the way you cope with life is you connect with your Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're either going to have a worn out Bible or you're going to have a worn out life. And so we're all struggling to cope with life. We're all trying to figure this whole thing out. And it might not be, what must I do to be saved like in the book of Acts? But it is, what must I do to cope with life? And now we're able to step forward and help people by sharing the gospel with them. Do you know that the statistics show, Cigna Healthcare, Health Services Corporation did a study and they said that we are at epidemic levels in our culture with loneliness. It's also, other studies can show you we're at epidemic levels with anxiety. So we're lonely and we're anxious. Half of Americans say that they do not have a meaningful in-person social interaction on a daily basis. They don't have any friend to talk to. They don't spend time with family members. They're disconnected, and they found that the loneliest generation are those 18 to 22. Now, how is that? The ones that want to go out on Friday night, let's go do something. Let's go. Let's Instagram. Let's talk. Let's tweet. Let's do all these different things and connect. They're the loneliest generation of those 18 to 22 year olds. And we're all saying forward, help me with life. So if you're lonely, I want to encourage you, get involved in the church, our church. If not this church, another Bible believing church. You'll never solve loneliness by remaining by being alone. But to be able to step out, and all of us get lonely at times. All of us end up in places where there's loneliness in our life where we're like, Lord, we need you and we need your help. God, do something in us. So people are asking for help and we get to help. But notice how they helped. In verse 10, it doesn't say they helped by bringing them food. It doesn't say that they helped by bringing them necessary things that they need. It said they helped by preaching the gospel to them. Do you see it? God called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, let me say something real quick. We've got to combine social physical needs with spiritual needs. The goal is not that everybody in the world has shoes. Though we want that we believe shoes are important. The goal is not that everybody has food, though that is very important. We want to use those tools as the church, as tools to say, we give you food, we give you water, we give you clothing, we help you so that we can share Jesus Christ with you. Because don't you know, you can grow up in the poorest country in the world and know Christ as Savior and live in a mansion for heaven and for all of eternity. Or you can grow up in the richest place in the world and miss Jesus and miss eternity with God in heaven. So it's not just a social moment. It's social in a way to connect. So here's what we say around our church. As Christians, our identity in Christ, we help people. Some people will put a period there. We help people, comma, go to heaven. So as Christians, who we are in Christ, we help people. We're going to help people. We served a lot of corn dogs. I can promise you that last week at Houston 1A. A lot of hot dogs, a lot of giving stuff away, a lot of helping people. We're doing that. That's an amazing thing so that we can say, but you know what can help you more? The gospel, verse 10 of Jesus Christ. A lot of talk about the border. We're not in to politicize the border in the least, but I want you to know that your church, our church, that we're helping through our denomination. We've identified a church there that's right there at the border that's ministering to people and sharing needs, physical needs, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we'll just stop at the sharing of needs. Why? Because nobody will say anything negative to you as long as you're just giving people stuff. But as soon as you say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, who was born of a virgin, rose again on a third day, is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him, now you got a scandal on your hands, don't you? Now you get in trouble. So we've been bullied into just helping people with their physical instead of helping people with their soul as well. So am I saying do one or the other? No, I'm not. I'm saying do both. The Macedonian man is saying, come to help us. And Paul's stepping forward and saying, I'm going to share the gospel with you. Do you see it? Because now the gospel is able to really help them for eternity in their soul. So we help people. Now, a little side note on this, because it's worthy of teaching. Verse 9, it said that during the night, Paul had a vision. Now, was this a dream or was this a vision? Well, it really doesn't matter. Actually, one commentator said it was a vision at the beginning of the paragraph and was a dream at the end of the paragraph, because it was at night, but it was a vision. So it doesn't really matter. But let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can speak through dreams and visions? He sure can. The book of Acts, in the day of Pentecost, he says young men will dream dreams, and it goes on quoting the book of Joel. So God can use that. God can speak through dreams and visions. What's a dream and a vision? It's an introjection. It's interjecting from heaven in today's world, right? It's just an introjection. He's going to interject something onto planet Earth. Now, if you're asleep when you have it, then that's cool. If it's a vision that you have. Now, it's doesn't happen all the time. Doesn't happen all the time. In the Old Testament, there was 120 references to dreams. 52 came in Genesis, 29 in the book of Daniel, just to give you kind of the big chunks. But there was approximately 1,000 years between Joseph and Daniel's dreams. Okay? So it doesn't happen all the time. I've slept every night pretty much for the last 48 years. And I could tell you probably about 5 times I felt like I've had a dream that was from God. I mean, like a moment, like I woke up and went, that was from the Lord. Now, sometimes you have dreams, they're from pizza, okay? Sometimes you have dreams, it's from the Prince of Peace and pizza too, right? But God does something. And one dream, I'll tell you in particular, I woke up and I thought, that was from God. And I was just thinking about it. And then my wife woke up about an hour and a half later, and she just popped up in bed and she said, I think I just had a dream that was from God. And I said, tell me about it. And she started saying, well, I was in this room and this was happening and this was happening and this was happening. And I said, and you were sitting on the left-hand side and you were 2 rows back. And she and I had a dream and we were in the same room with the same thing happening. And I'm telling you, it gives me chills just telling you right now. And we were like, that's of God. And I want you to know that a major part of that dream has actually come true and happened in that very room. So there's gonna be some things that happen that God does. You have to be discerning as well. Like I said, I've had 5 in 48 years, all right? So maybe you've had whatever, I don't know. But I'm just saying it doesn't happen all the time. But this happened and Paul then went from Turkey to Europe because of this. Number 2, I want you to see in verses 13 through 16. 13 through 16 says this. We're gonna get to the home, here we go. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river and expected to find a place of prayer. Why are they there? Because there's not enough men to build a synagogue. You needed 10 men in the town to build a synagogue. They didn't have one. They didn't have enough. We sat down and spoke to them, to the women that were gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple and cloth from the city of Tyria, blah, 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 that was listening. The Lord opened up her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. And after her household was baptized home, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come to stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, it's not going to be until verse 40 that Paul ends up at her house. But here's what happens. I want you to hear this. God will provide incredible people along your path. God will provide incredible people along your path. So when the open and closed doors are happening, all these things are taking place, God's going to provide incredible people on your path. Verses 1 through 5 of this very chapter, God provides Timothy for Paul. Luke, we see, I showed you that it turned to we. Luke is writing this, and it says that we set out to Macedonia in verse 10. Luke is provided. Lydia is provided on this path, that she's going to have them come into their home. Are you lonely? Pray for God to provide people. Pray for God to provide people in your life. When we were in College Station doing college ministry, it's interesting, in a college town, this happens in all college towns, there's really a dichotomy of people in the town. There's college students, and then there's kind of everybody else. And we were caught in the middle, young married, and all our friends had graduated and left. So we didn't have any friends, but we had all these students that we knew, and we didn't know really what to go. And so we went through a time in our marriage that we were just lonely. We're just lonely. We just didn't have a bunch of friends. People knew us around town, but we just didn't have any friends and we were lonely. I remember one day we were driving in the car and I was driving and Kelly was sitting next to me and this girl was running, jogging in the neighborhood that we lived in, and she looked like a nice girl. I said, well, Kelly, she looks like a nice girl. Maybe she'll be your friend. You know, you want me to pull over and ask her? I mean, I think y'all would get along. Y'all kind of look alike and look like y'all would, you know, and she's like, no. And you know, we knew that'd be weird. Would you be our friend? No. She starts picking up the pace. No. I mean, you know, all of a sudden we're in trouble. So, but we're just lonely. So we just prayed, God, would you send us some friends? Lord, would you do that? Another couple in town, they called us and they said, hey, you're in college ministry. We're in college ministry. We need to know each other better. Y'all want to get together? Just a couple days after. Turns out they've turned into some of our best friends in the world. We've been friends with them for 20 years now. Our sons were born 3 days apart. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor. We talk about all those sort of things together. Our wives are friends as well. I mean, it's just God just blossoms something out of that loneliness spot. God will bring people on your path. He brings Lydia onto Paul's path. Do you know who Lydia is? Lydia is an amazing woman. A lot of talk about the value of women in our society. Let me tell you how much God values women in our society. Tremendously. Lydia is the first person to come to Christ in all of Europe. Amazing. Ladies were the first one to get to the tomb. So ladies, you're wondering about your value to God? You're tremendously valuable to God. Your value to men? Men, they should be tremendously valuable to us. Your value to yourself? Sometimes you're harder on yourself than you should be, ladies. Tremendously valuable. The first person to come to Christ in all of Europe is a woman named Lydia. She's a businesswoman even. She's got a household she's taking care of. She's dealing in purple cloth. What was purple cloth for? It was for royalty. It was a color of royal. Purple was the royal color. So she's not over here at some, you know, dollar store. She's like running Neiman's, okay, is what's happening here. She's so valuable, so amazing. The first person to ever come to Christ in Europe. Think about Europe. We're talking about Tyndale. We're talking about Luther. We're talking about Protestant Reformation. We're talking about an English Bible sitting in your lap because of Europe. You're talking about the United States of America because of Puritans coming over from Europe. You're talking about all the influence of universities starting in Europe. All of these things that happen in Europe for Christ. And it begins with a woman named Lydia. It's amazing. God will provide people on your path. Now, let me show you three things. That you can use as a difference maker in your home. Your home people, let me show you three things as God provides these things. Let me show you three things, and it's found in the book of Philippians. Turn to Philippians, it's to the right, okay? A couple books to the right. Don't be afraid to look in the table of contents if you need to. Go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company is another way to remember it, okay? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so let's get to Philippians chapter 1. And what you did when you turned, you just basically turned 10 years, okay? 10 years. Acts 16 was written in about 50 AD. Philippians was written in about 60 AD. So now he's in Philippi in Acts 16. Now he's going to write a letter from a Roman prison to Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. He's going to write a letter, and that's about 10 years later. Now let me tell you what. These three steps, we're going to hit them fast. But these three steps are something, it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what stage of life you are, you put this into action with your home team, you're gonna make a difference in their lives, and they're gonna make a difference in your life. Doesn't matter what your personality is. You can be an Enneagram 9 or 1, it does not matter. You can be an otter, a beaver, or a golden retriever, or a lion, it does not matter. You can be a Berkman red or a Berkman green. It does not matter. You can be anything, whatever you are. God can use every single personality. Because when we talk about difference makers, some people, personality drives that a lot of ways. Be a difference maker. Okay, being a difference maker. Let's set a policy for writing out how to be a difference maker. That's some group. Be a difference maker. I need to go by her house and bake her a cake and sit and listen for days and just be sweet. Awesome. Be a difference maker. Let's start something. That's where I come in, right? That's my usual bent. Let's start something. Be a difference maker. Let's share Christ. Let's do all these. Oh, it doesn't matter. All these things, these three things will give it to you. You ready? Here we go. The first one's found in verses 3-6, and it's about your mind. See if you can get your mind. Philippians 1, verse 3. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer because of your partnership. That word partnership is going to come up later on. Partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Step one is this. I have you in my mind. I have you in my mind. That's the first thing, the first step of a difference maker. Do we have people on our mind? Do we have our home team on our mind? Now, the way that you show this, here's the application. The application is see the good and tell them you're grateful. See the good and tell them you're grateful. There is always, when home team, that gets close to you, you can always see the negative in choices, always see the negative in personality in the people around you. See the good and tell them you're grateful. I mean, look them in the eye. Dad, husband, guys, we're not so good at this. In the eye, say, I want you to know I am grateful for you. I'm so thankful for you. Say that to your wife, to your kids, to your friend, to your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, whoever it is, and speak that gratitude into their life and let them know, I got you on my mind. You're on my mind. I'm grateful for you. All campuses, we had the Lord's Supper today. It's called in many ways the Eucharist. You know where that Greek word comes from? The root of that is this word of thankful right here, to be grateful. The Eucharist is to be grateful. It comes from that root word right there in thankfulness. Are you and I grateful? Grateful. We want to be grateful people in our home, and so we have what we call a gratitude jar. This is not it. This is a candle holder is what this is, okay? And this one is too. But the reason that we have this is because we accidentally broke our gratitude jar at our house. But, you know, we're not running a museum. We're creating memories, okay? So we break things all the time. We celebrate in the breaking of things at our house because that means that we're having fun there. So we broke the gratitude jar that a friend of ours gave it to us as a gift. So we made this. And what you do is you've got these little cards. You can make it at home or you can order it, whatever you want to. And they just say gratitude on them. And we put it on the dining room table and we just fill out, we write these cards and we just write down what we're grateful for. And then kids will come over to our house and the stage of life we're at, we can do a lot of chicken fingers and pizza at our house and basketball. And so bringing kids over, our friends, our kids' friends coming over. And so we'll put it out and I'll say, hey, if you're grateful for anything, I'm just gonna put this in the middle. And the kids love it. They just start writing things down. So let me just read you a couple out of here. One of the kids came over to our house. I'm grateful not just for friends, I'm grateful for friends that are not just companions. Friends, another one wrote. My friend that I told you that we've been the pastor friend, he was at our house. This is what he wrote. Friends that I know will pray for me and help me carry the load. So he wrote after decades of friendship. This one I like here. This is great. I'm grateful that we are the World Series champions in 2017. Springer, Altuve, Bregman in the gratitude jar. Amen, right? We can do that. We understand that. That makes sense to us. Okay, we got that. Let me cruise along a little bit quicker here. I'm thankful that you let us come to your house so late tonight. Amen, because they did stay a little long that night, I can tell you. Family, grateful for that. I'm grateful that God gives peace that passes understanding. I'm grateful here that God is at work in, through, and at Houston's First Baptist Church. I'm thankful that the Lord has involved us in such an amazing, great church with great people. This one goes together. I'm grateful for the movie, The Greatest Showman, is what they said. And then this one with a heart from a little girl said, and I'm grateful for Zac Efron is what she said in that one. Last one, maybe the same girls, I don't know. I'm grateful for the Hallmark Channel, just flat out. Amen. I might've written that actually. I like the Hallmark Channel too. That's a good thing. But what is it? It's just a tool of gratitude. You're on my mind, Paul's saying, and I thank my God in my remembrances of you. Number two, I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. It's not just I have you in my mind. I have you in my heart. So we're going to see the good and tell them we're grateful. Number two, I have you in my heart. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, indeed, it is right for me to think this way. Do you see it in your mind? About all of you, because I have you where? In my heart, because you are all partners with me in the grace, both in my imprisonment. He was imprisoned in Philippi, and he's now imprisoned in Rome. And in the defense and the confirmation of what? The gospel. There it is again. Did you see the connect from Acts to the gospel in Philippi? 10 years later, he's still preaching the same thing of the good news that Jesus has come. So here in this moment, we got our second thing. I have you in my heart. When does this show best? When we go through grace, when we show grace in the midst of trials. So how do we do this? Let's apply it. Show your love. Show your love. He says, you know what? I was in my imprisonment. You took care of me. You were a one that loved me through all of this. I'm in prison right now. And Philippi is sending him resources and money so that he can make it. and support the ministry that's going on. So he says, I have you in my heart. And the way I want to show you is I want to show my love to you. You know, when you really see a lot of love, you see a lot of love between families, home teams is what I'm trying to say, home teams. Whenever they go through a trial, people get close. You go to a funeral that's unexpected and you watch that family and friendship network just zoom, comes like this in a trial, in a place of grief. So we want to show your love to, we want to show our love to you. We'll make you casseroles till the cows come home. We'll, I mean, just zoom. And Paul's saying, thank you. And I have you in my heart because of the grace you've shown me when I'm going through a difficult time. We need to show grace, don't we? And show love in that way. Number three and finally is this, I have you in my prayers. So I have you on my mind, I have you in my heart, and I have you in my prayers to make a difference with our home team, to say, I have you in my prayers. Look in verse 9. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing. I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. Parents, we particularly need to teach our kids discernment. Not just rules, discerning what's right. So that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I have you in my prayers. And the application of that is we pray together and we partner for eternal things. We pray together and we partner for eternal things. Do you see all through this chapter, he's talking about the partnership of the gospel? See, if we get with our home team and we get about bigger and better things and eternal things in Cyprus and Siena and downtown, God can do something with us. What happens with partnerships is we begin to move in the same direction. But many of us in our homes, we got a lot of friction. What happens with friction? Here's what happens with friction. Two pieces of wood end up having friction when? When they're going and rubbing together and they're going in different directions. That's where friction is caused, right? Kids going this way, mom and dad are going that way, wife's going this way, dad's going that way, back and forth, friends, parents, kids, whatever. Friction happens when you have this. Also, it can happen when one is staying stable and not moving and the other is moving. So one person's not growing in Christ, dug their heels in, and the other is growing in Christ. You're gonna end up with some friction, aren't you? So how do you solve the friction? Here's how you solve the friction. The friction is solved when you take these two blocks of wood, instead of them going opposite directions, you take these two pieces of wood and you put them together and now they're partnered together. You see? And now we're going together for what? The gospel, the good news of all of eternity, not my preferences or your preferences, but I got you on my mind, I got you in my heart, and I got you in my prayers. So let's come together and let's pray together. Not just pray for someone, pray with someone. And let's say, God, let them hear my voice. I'm so grateful for them. And they're on my heart, they're in my mind, and I want you to do something great. And then the partnership of the gospel begins to decrease the friction. You see it? So if you're in Troas today, trust the Lord. He'll take you across the sea. Maybe a vision or dream that sets you on the right trajectory. I don't know. Maybe just the word of God. Maybe this message right now. But let God do his work in you. And you'll find how to handle open and closed doors as you make this life's journey of loving your home team well. Loving your home team well. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord, that you, God, are strong and great and mighty. And Lord, our first home team is a relationship with God the Father, that we have a home team in Christ. And so, Father, as we now close our service together, just a moment as we sing a song and then dismiss, may we be partnered with the gospel and for the gospel with one another. And do your work, Father. We want to help people with their physical needs, no question, but we want to dig deeper and help them with their spiritual needs as well. And so, Father, help us, Lord. Speak to us. Help us with our loneliness and our anxiety. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.